Sardana sanu charas chamayam. Translation. Whoever acquires the brahminical qualification, whose only wealth is good behavior, who is grateful, and who takes shelter of experienced persons, gets the opulence of the world. I therefore wish the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his associates will be pleased with the Brahmin class, with the cows, and with me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped with the prayer Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha. Thus it is clear that the Supreme Personality of Godhead respects and protects the Brahmanas and Brahminical culture as well as the cows. In other words, wherever there are Brahmanas and Brahminical culture, there are cows and cow protection. In a society or civilization in which there are no Brahmanas or Brahminical culture, cows are treated as ordinary animals and slaughtered at the sacrifice of human civilization. The specific mention of the word gavam, by Prithu Maharaj is significant because the Lord is always associated with cows and his devotees. In pictures, Lord Krishna is always seen with cows and his associates, such as the cowherd boys and the gopis. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot be alone. Therefore, Prithu Maharaj said, sanu charascha, indicating that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always associated with his followers and devotees. A devotee acquires all the good qualities of the demigods. He is gunayanam, the reservoir of all good qualities. His only asset is good behavior, and he is grateful. Gratitude for the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one of the qualities of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Everyone should feel grateful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he is maintaining all living entities and supplying their necessities. As stated in Nikata Upanishad 2.2.13, Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadatikamam. The Supreme One is supplying all necessities to the living entities. The living entity who is therefore grateful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is certainly qualified with good characteristics. The word vridhashrayam is very significant in this verse. Vridha refers to one who is advanced in knowledge. There are two kinds of old men: he who is advanced in years and he who is experienced in knowledge. One who is advanced in knowledge is actually vridha, jnanavridha. One does not become vridha simply by advancing in age. Vridhashrayam, a person who takes shelter of a superior person who is advanced in knowledge, can acquire all the good qualities of a brahmana and be trained in good behavior. When one actually attains good qualities, becomes grateful for the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, he is endowed with all opulence. Such a person is a brahmana or Vaishnava. Therefore, Prithu Maharaj invokes the blessings and mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with his associates, devotees, Vaishnavas, brahmanas, and cows. This is, of course, from the fourth canto, just after the relationship with Lord Vishnu appearing at the sacrificial arena of Prithu Maharaj. And Prithu Maharaj is giving some instructions, as he is the Raja Rishi, and we would expect that the saintly king would speak at a big momentous occasion. Whenever we have a festival program or some appearance or disappearance day, or there's a wedding or an initiation, it's expected that the knowledgeable person, the leader, the person with the position, will say something. So Prithu Maharaj is here speaking, and he's speaking very, very nicely. So one thing about this is the discussion of wealth. Now, here in this community, for the greater part, all of us are either now or soon will be or are on the verge of retiring from the Grihastha Ashram. We're all associated with the Grihastha Ashram in one way or another like that. And in the Grihastha Ashram, it's quite common, quite expected, that there would be a large amount of emphasis put on wealth. I mean, After all, first of all, the Grihastha ashram, we're supposed to support the other three ashrams. So right off the bat, you've got a 3-to-1 ratio of your income versus your expenses. And then the second thing, of course, is that the Grihastha ashram means that there's a wife. One of the names, one of the words in Sanskrit for the wife is stri, one who expands. She expands the family, expands one's possessions, expands one's field of awareness. Or in my particular case, I was really puzzled what I was going to speak about, and my wife expanded my perception of what to speak as she gave me the subject matter. So in this way, the wife is always expanding whatever we may or may not have available to us. And of course, thirdly, as the family expands, then there are things that the children are going to need. And these may either be things that the children have to have, or things that we have already have, or things that we didn't have and want to make sure that our children have. Education, different comforts of how they're raised, different opportunities throughout their life, things that we want to be sure our children get, or we want to see that I didn't get and my children should get. So all of this requires wealth. You have to have wealth to get these things. And not only in the modern age, but in this material world, these things don't just fall from the sky. Some wealth is required. So each person, though, this is where it gets interesting. Each person, each particular family, each scenario has a different level of wealth. Now, if you just think about this community alone, could almost do yum yum vapishma, you know, from the highest land. No, that's the other verse. There are many different levels of wealth in this community. By most standards throughout the world, as a community, we live very opulently, very comfortably. But within the community, we see different levels. Some people have this available, some people have that available, like that, you know. But let's suppose, what if there was one level of wealth that was equal across the board for all? And it's mentioned right here in this verse, in the second word in the Sanskrit, Shila Dhanam, one whose wealth is good behavior. Now, good behavior is a very practical wealth, a very easily accessible wealth, and a very common standard of wealth that one can aspire to and can easily obtain. It's not difficult. You know, to say I want to be a millionaire, okay, that might be a little more difficult. You know, to say that I'm in a job and I make $5 an hour and I want to make $20 an hour, all right, that might be a little difficult. But to say that I want to increase my wealth by developing good behavior, well, that's easily available. Now, what does Prabhupada define as good behavior? He notes here, good behavior is shown by a society that protects cows and brahmanas. A society that protects cows and brahmanas. Why? Why would we want to protect the cows and the brahmanas? I mean, okay, you know, to have good behavior means you're nice to everybody, but why the cows and the brahmanas? Well, Prabhupada refers to that verse, Namo Brahmani Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha, Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. That Govinda is very, very kind. Would one of you mind just turning these two fans down lower so my notes don't blow all over the place and I'm completely lost? Thanks. So, Namo Brahmani Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha, Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Prabhupada says in different places, love me, love my dog. So, this doesn't, I mean, although it may literally in some circumstances mean love me, love my dog, the indication of this is that whatever I hold dear, whatever is wonderful and appreciated and loved by me, if you appreciate that too, hey, then you're my friend. Then you're my buddy. Then I like you too. That's one way to make me happy, is to please those things. So this is what Krishna is saying. I love the Brahmins. I love the cows. So if we take this, the word used in the Sanskrit, govam sanucharas, the cows and the devotees, they're always with Krishna. Krishna does not like to be alone. Now, of course, there are different particular pastimes where Krishna, to enhance the mood of separation from his devotees, will separate himself from them for a short time. But in general, As Prabhupada says in the Purport here, we see the Krishna's always with the devotees, always with the cows, always with the cowherd boys like that. So in this way, we see that he's very, very satisfied in that way. So good behavior means to show respect, to show appreciation to the cows and to the Brahmins. And as a result of that, then we will develop wealth. We will develop some actual wealth. Now, I found it interesting. I didn't catch this the first time I read this earlier today. But I saw the comma in here a little differently than I read it the second time. But as Prabhupada says, in a society or a civilization in which there are no brahmanas or brahminical culture, and in which the cows are treated as ordinary animals and slaughtered at the sacrifice of human civilization. And when I first thought that, I meant, okay, human society does a sacrifice and they sacrifice it. Because that's not what Prabhupada means here. What he means is that at the sacrifice of being a civilized human society, one slaughters the cows. One disrespects the Brahmins or the priestly class. So this is a very important point, because we know there's 400,000, according to the Vedas, there's 400,000 different species of human beings. I saw something on, I think it was on CNN, about some, it sounded a little silly, about some orangutan that they have trained how to swim just like a human being swims. And, you know, when you look at this orangutan in a life preserver and swimming, you kind of think, you know, I know some people that kind of look like that. A little dull, a little bit hairy, you know, but managing somehow or another to eke out an existence. So I was just thinking in my mind, you know, 400,000 species, of which Prabhupada says only a small percentage are considered civilized. Well, I don't know. I've never seen this written anywhere, but I wonder where that line is for the 400,000 species between being in a human body and being in some kind of orangutan kind of human-looking kind of body anyway. So, you know, 400,000 different species in the human life. But that human society, by which we have strived so hard for, we've been up and down this material creation, Abrahma Bhuvanaloka, Puna Bhavatin Arjuna, from one planet to another, from one species to another, from one body to another, you know, millions and millions of times. And in that process, we have rarely gotten the opportunity to be in this human form. And so in this human form, we get to practice good behavior to show that we are civilized human beings. Otherwise, we sacrifice that human civilization. In other words, we're living like animals. We all know this scenario. None of very few new people here that have not heard this before. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. What's the difference between the animals and the human beings? We have the intelligence, the rationale, the question, why am I here? What is the purpose of this life? Atato brahma jignasa. That without doing that, we have no good behavior. We have no good qualities. We have no wealth. All we are is just like one of the animals. We've sacrificed, by the process of disrespecting the Brahmins, disrespecting the cows, we've sacrificed the process of human civilization. So good behavior means respect the Brahmins, respect the cows, and as a result, this brings real wealth. Now, it may or may not artificially bring dollars and cents into your bank account. You may or may not end up with a Mercedes in your driveway. You may or may not have a home on the coast, whatever coast you happen to choose on this huge planet or in this huge universal system. But if you respect the cows and Brahmins, you have real wealth because you'll have good behavior. And good behavior means you know how to act according to the plans of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada then uses the word that doing like this, these activities we've just described, this makes a devotee gunayanam. Gunayanam. A reservoir of good qualities. A reservoir of good qualities. We've all had the opportunity, either through our years in devotional service, or even in some cases, as we deal with people in the secular world too, meet someone who actually is a very nice person. And you would like to have qualities like that. Of course, you know, the devotee tries to see good everywhere. You know, we don't just see, oh, if somebody doesn't have tilak and sika, therefore that means they're not a good person. You know, they may have some good qualities, some shadow like that. But the point is that the reservoir of good qualities, to find someone who has those qualities that we want to imbibe. Now, of course, it's described the 26 qualities of a devotee. And these are given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I think it's the beginning of the Majjhima. Where's Pushkar when you need him? Anyway, Chaitanya Charitamrita describes the 26 qualities of the devotee, and we want to develop these qualities. And by practicing this outline given in this verse, these qualities begin to manifest in our activities. So then, we've got good behavior, we've got good qualities. What do we do with these good qualities? That's the next point. We flaunt them. Do we use them to our own advantage? We use them to become overbearing on others. We've seen all of this. People that have some position, some power, that by dint of their qualities have risen to some particular level, religiously, socially, economically, politically, and as a result of being there, flaunt that which got them there, take advantage of other people, become very overbearing and difficult to deal with like that. These three activities, they're very detrimental to maintaining this good behavior that has gotten us to that position. So we have to be very careful about this. Lord Chaitanya has taught us in his prayer, in the Dhanam Dhyanama Sundari, Trinadapi Sahishnena Tarorapi Sahishnena. We have to be very humble, we have to be very tolerant, we have to treat others with respect. So if we have good behavior, if we have good qualities, then we won't act arrogantly. We won't act exploitively. We won't act in a domineering type of way, because these activities, these qualities, are the negative side, and they will destroy the good qualities that we've strived so hard to protect, to develop. So how do we avoid this happening? Because we all have pitfalls in our personalities, pitfalls in our daily life, and these things manifest. They're called anarthas. Now, we have the 10 offenses to the holy name, which we're encouraged to avoid them. Is the 10 offenses to the Dham, which we're encouraged to avoid them, like that. So these particular qualities I've mentioned here, arrogance, exploitiveness, domineering, these are actually the qualities that destroy our good qualities. But we can avoid them by this one activity mentioned in the purport here, and that is by showing gratitude. Being grateful for what we have, what we do have, because we all have something. No, I don't have anything. You know, this has happened and that has happened and there's so much difficulty, you know. I don't have anything. Being grateful for what we do have and being grateful for who it has come from. I have to tell the story of this one devotee I know. She lives in Russia. Her name is Kunja Kishori. Kunja Kishori. She's a disciple of Indradyumna Swami. Kunja Kishori and her husband are very, very nice devotees. Very, very wonderful. He's a disciple of Bibi Govinda Maharaj, and they're both very attached to Indradyumna Maharaj and Bibi Govinda Maharaj. So I met them in Vrindavan. Now, Kunja Kishori has a particular quality, or lack of, I should say. She's completely blind. Not an ability to see a thing. So her husband guides her everywhere, just like you've seen when you have a partner that's blind, holding them, taking them here, showing them here, directing them this way and that way. So I got to talking with him, and I asked about her condition, and had she been born this way? We became friendly, the two of us and all. So she mentioned that, no, actually what had happened was when she was a young woman, before coming to Krishna consciousness, she had some infection in the eye and went to the hospital in Russia, and this was back in the older days. And due to some improper medical attention, they blinded her when they tried to correct this. She lost her vision in both eyes. And I was a little shocked. I said, wow, I said, you know, this must have been very difficult for you, you know. I said, you know, was there a lawsuit or something? I mean, this is what happens in America, right? You get bad medical practice, you file a malpractice lawsuit or something. He said, no, this was Russia. Those things don't happen. The hospital just says, oh, gee, I'm sorry, okay, next. No, and that's basically what happened. And so then the question came, well, you must have some pretty bitter feelings about this. She said, no. She said, actually, I just understood that I had misused my vision so much in sense gratification that Krishna took it away from me and I saw it all as his mercy. Now, this is an advanced devotee. This is a devotee who has gratitude for what she does have and who it's come from. And what does she have? She's got the most beautiful Govardhan Shilas, the most beautiful Radha Krishna Dis that she dresses every single day. Yeah, you heard me. She's buying it. She dresses her Dis every day and does a wonderful job of it. And she's been to Vrindavan several times and gone around to all the Parikram places, climbing all the steps and all the hills and valleys and like that. So she's very appreciative in this way. So this is gratitude. A situation that we think is very, very difficult. And instead, she's grateful for what she has. What does she have? She has the link into the Sampradaya of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, initiation of Vinodumna Swami. She's got a wonderful husband who takes such nice care of her. She's got beautiful deities that she can look after. So, very, very interesting how this works. If we think of ourselves, I'm the controller, I'm the doer, I'm the cause of everything, I am the cause of my own good fortune, then this causes us to forget, I mean, what I like to call basic Bhagavad Gita 101. You know, that we're not the doer, that we're not in charge, that we're not the controller. This is what we learn when we first study Bhagavad Gita. This means that we're not showing gratitude. Prabhupada uses this verse to mention how living entity can be grateful to what the Supreme Lord has supplied. Nityo nityanam, chaitanas chaitananam, eko bahunam, yo vidadatikam. Nityo nityanam, that there's one eternal supplying all the, among all the eternals, one eternal among all the eternals, that there is chaitana, chaitananam, there is one living force amongst all the living forces. Nityo nityanam, chaitanas chaitananam, eko bahunam, that one, that supreme, eko, is supplying for the Bahu, for all the living entities, everything that they need. So this verse Prabhupada uses to show how one can actually be grateful by appreciating everything that we have been given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The next section here Prabhupada speaks about, and I like this very much, Vridashrayam. He talks about one who is advanced in knowledge. And he says here that one does not get knowledge, Vridha, simply by advancing in age. German philosopher, I believe it's pronounced Goethe, he said that ingratitude is a form of weakness. He says, I've never known a man of real ability who was ungrateful. So if we show ingratitude, it shows that we're actually weak, that we're not strong, that we're not the controller. I was appreciating the announcement for today's sponsor for the Sunday feast, Shiladi Janadi Dev, that they just, why? It's their birthday. No. Oh, it's an anniversary. No. Oh, someone in the family passed away. No. Just want to show our appreciation to the devotees. So how nice to show appreciation to the devotees in this way. All right, let me sponsor a nice feast for all of them. This is gratitude. I'm so lucky to live in this community. I'm so fortunate to be blessed with the association of all these devotees. Let me show some gratitude like this. So this is another form of gratitude, this Vridha Ashrayam, taking shelter of those who are learned, of someone who has knowledge. Now, generally, age comes with knowledge, or as they say, sometimes age just comes by itself and doesn't bother to bring knowledge with it. Prabhupada says that right in the sentence here, that, you know, being old alone doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have knowledge, you're going to be intelligent. You know, the process of taking shelter of someone with knowledge is the whole process of taking shelter of a devotee, of a spiritual master, of the sadhu sangha, of the association of devotees. That these activities, they give us great satisfaction. The association of devotees gives us that ability to advance. And this is part of the process of Shiladhanam, of developing wealth. again, you know, this basic concept that we learned from Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidhi Pratipratena, of taking shelter of a spiritual master. This is a wealth to have this opportunity of being blessed in this life to know the process of devotional service, to acquire the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. You know, we're motivated by knowledge to accept a teacher, to take shelter of someone, or as one philosopher said, that it's strange how much you have to know how little you know. So this is conquering the false ego. Oh, I know so much. I'm so knowledgeable. I've spent so many years doing this. I've studied so much of that. No, it's when we begin to realize we don't know anything that we actually qualify ourselves for shelter at the lotus feet of a spiritual master. It's a very interesting circle. You have to be aware of the fact that you don't have knowledge to be able to acquire knowledge. So, you know, when you're trained in the good qualities, you become grateful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then as a result, the Lord leads us to the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. But to be trained in devotional service means we have to have some desire, some understanding of how to take up that training. So it's a very interesting circle. Like it's a cycle that's actually there to purify the Vaishnavas, you know, to help us become more humble. Now, in regards to this quality of gratitude, today, of course, is the disappearance day of Shyamananda Pandit, one of the great leaders of the second wave of devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, as we know, whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, he brings all of his immediate associates with him. That group of associates are his immediate counterparts. They're the ones that take part in all the relationships and all the activities with him. And then after he departs, there's a second wave. And this second wave of devotees, there were three that were very, very prominent, of course, as we know. Anartham Das Thakur, Srinivasacharya, and Shyamananda Pandit. Now, when you discuss Shyamananda Pandit, the concept of gratitude is right there. I mean, first of all, his parents were so extremely grateful. Actually, his parents, Krishnamandala and Durika, they had many children before this child was born, but they all died either in childbirth or at a very young age. So when this child lived a bit, they were very grateful. They were very, very grateful. So he grew up in this atmosphere of gratitude. So his name was Duki. They named him Duki. So, of course, throughout the development of his youth and his education, childhood, eventually he came to the point that every parent aspires for their child, of getting their child initiated. This is the aspiration of every Vaishnava parent. And Krishnamandala and Duriki, don't be misunderstood, they were very wonderful devotees. They were great followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Mahaprabhu. They worshipped them, you know, emphatically. So in this way, they decided it was the appropriate time. So Krishnamandala spoke to his son, Duki. He said, it's time for you now to, you know, take diksha. And Duki said, it is all right, father. He said, I already know who my spiritual master is. It has been revealed to me by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His name is Hriday Chaitanya, and he is the follower, the disciple of Gauridas Pandit. And he lives just a short distance from here in Ambika Kalna. How many of you have had the opportunity to go to the village of Ambika Kalna? Three or four of you. It's a wonderful place. Very peaceful, very quiet, very close to the Ganges. Very, very nice atmosphere there. Some very, very important Vaishnava Tirthas are found at this place. So at any rate, he arranged through the details with his father, and I'm kind of skipping a little bit here and there so we don't take up 6 hours talking about Shyamananda Pandit, to go to Ambika Kalna. And when he arrived there, he presented himself to his spiritual master. He found the ashram of Hriday Chaitanya. It's not a huge village, so it's not difficult to find. So he found the ashram of Hriday Chaitanya and went before him and offered his obeisances. And Hriday Chaitanya looked down at this young boy and said, so, said, who are you? He said, oh, he said, I have come here to serve your lotus feet. My name is Duki, and I come from Durindra Bahadrapur. My mother and father have sent me here to be your servant. Now, this is the proper attitude that one approaches the spiritual master. Humble and grateful. Humble to be able to submit themselves and grateful to have that opportunity of being placed in the care of a learned personality that can deliver them from the cycle of birth and death. So, in this way, Rido Chaitanya said, so what is your name? He said, my name is Dukhi. Dukhi means sorrowful. He said, so your name is Dukhi. He said, I give you the name Krishna. Your name is Dukhi Krishna, one who is sorrowful being separated from Krishna. So in this way, immediately, some exchange was there. So it describes how Dukhi Krishna began the process of serving his spiritual master with great devotion, a wonderful mood of humility and submission and appreciation, serving Hridaya Chaitanya. Hridaya Chaitanya, he was a Vaishnava guru, a learned man, but he understood that this boy is special. And he requires someone special to train him. So after having duly initiated him, he said, I have a special arrangement for you. I want you to go to Vrindavan, and I want to place you in the care of Jiva Goswami. Now, of course, at the time, Jiva Goswami was the head of the entire Gaudiya line. The glories of Jiva Goswami would take another 6 hours. So Jiva Goswami is such an amazing individual. So it was arranged that he would send him there. That Dukhi Krishna would go and study under Jiva Goswami. And, of course, we know that ultimately, well, I won't jump ahead there. I want to talk a little bit about the mood of Dukhi Krishna as he arrived in Vrindavan. After some time, he traveled with a group of pilgrims and arrived at Mathura. And when he entered Mathura, he went to Vishram Ghat and took bath there, the Vishram Ghat. And then after leaving there, he went to the Adi Keshava temple just at that place and took the darshan, rolled on the dust in that place, covered himself with the holy dust of Mathura. And then from there, he proceeded towards Vrindavan. Mathura, of course, is the birthplace of Krishna. Vrindavan is the pastime place of Krishna. Bit sweeter. So he went in this way, and when he arrived there, he learned about the whereabouts from the residents of Jiva Goswami. You know, young Brahmin boy arrives, I like to find Jiva Goswami. Oh, Jiva Goswami is over there. So he went and found him like that. And after being introduced to Jiva Goswami and told what it was, he said, my Gurudev has committed me to your charge. It is his petition that you take care of me, Dukhi Krishnadas, that you please train me in the science and arts of devotional service, and then in due course of time, send me back to his care. So here again, understanding the great personality of Jiva Goswami, the reputation of Jiva Goswami, and placing himself in all humility and appreciation in the care of Jiva Goswami. Now, of course, the story of Shamananda, Dukhi Krishna, that is the most famous, is a very lengthy story, and I think requires a lot of build-up and description before going into it. So that's not the point I want to make tonight. We all know the story, how he became Shamananda and the glorious pastime there. But there's a very important thing. He had the direct darshan of Srimati Radharani and got the direct blessings of Srimati Radharani. Now, I was talking a little earlier about what happens when one gets those good qualities and gets that good fortune. Does one flaunt it or become, you know, arrogant? You know, if you've gotten the direct blessings and the direct darshan of Srimati Radharani in the wrong state of mind, you could become a little bit proud. But of course, you wouldn't get those blessings of darshan if you were proud. That's part of the package, that circle I was talking about. So at any rate, after having this amazing darshan of Srimati Radharani and her blessings, he went to Jiva Goswami because he understood something very special has happened here. I'm not qualified, but somehow it's happened. But if it becomes public, it'll become very awkward because people will think I'm this and I'm that, and I'm really not. So in that mood of humility, in that mood of appreciation for the blessings of Srimati Radharani, he went to Jiva Goswami. And he approached him, my dear Gurudev. He said, I have to speak to you about this. And he shared with him the entire experience, to which Jiva Goswami just became ecstatic. He said, this is so wonderful. He said, but you're absolutely right. Don't share this with anyone. Don't tell anybody about this. Keep this to yourself. By doing this, it allowed him to enhance his humility and his gratitude for the gift he had been given. Now, of course, that's just the very tip of the iceberg at the beginning of the life of Shyamananda Pandit, and that's where we're going to stop on his story. Because, as I said, we don't have 6 hours to spend. But the point is that this humility in the qualities that he had allowed him to have gratitude for the gift of being given those qualities. So we can see why from this verse, Prithu Maharaj, he is appreciating with gratitude and invoking the blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead along with his cows, with the Vaishnavas, with the Brahmins, and with all of his devotees. And this is the mood Prithu Maharaj is trying to bring about here. So, very exemplary mood for us. So I just thought this was a nice subject to speak about here. Now, something practical about gratitude for all of us. Just recently, as a community, we invited Krishna and Balaram to come and stay with us. We all took part in this wonderful installation festival and invited them to come here, and we will serve you. We will take very good care of you. Who thinks it's hot? Don't be bashful. This isn't a test to see if you're on the bodily concept. Who thinks it's hot? Yeah, and it's going to get hotter. This is summertime in Florida. So what we do to ease that for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is we render the service of Chandan Yatra. We render the service of covering the Lord's body with Chandan because it's very cooling. Now, last year when we did Chandan Yatra, and we've done Chandan Yatra here for some 8 or 9 years, and last year we almost had just about enough Chandan. We were a little just on the close edge. This year we need twice as much more because we have Krishna and Balaram and Krishna and Balaram. Big Krishna and Balaram and little Krishna and Balaram. So here is where you can all show your gratitude to Krishna and Balaram for coming. Volunteer to grind Chandan. During the class, I don't see anybody out here grinding Chandan. During the, one devotee here. One lonely, humble, quiet devotee sitting in the corner grinding Chandan, meditating on Krishna and Balaram. Don't all of you wish you could do the same thing? So in this way, you can grind Chandan. Okay, you don't get to come to class. You work during the week. Grind Chandan at home and bring it. There's a process for purifying it. Don't worry. You know, I mean, be careful. You know, observe proper etiquette. But everyone, grind Chandan. Those of you out there listening on the microphone, grind Chandan. Bring Chandan for Krishna and Balaram. Bring Chandan for Radhe Shyam. Bring Chandan for Gornitai. Let's make this Chandan Yatra one that we don't have to go, are we going to have enough? Trust me, I've been up there. When you're up there putting the Chandan on, you're going, oh man, are we going to have enough? It's not nice. So, who wants to grind Chandan for Krishna and Balaram? Is that all? Who wants to grind Chandan for Krishna and Balaram? All right. Mother Nitai has lots of Chandan grinding stones. There's lots of different times during the day. Oh, during the class, all the Chandan stones were used. Okay, so come later in the day and grind then. Make an arrangement. This is how you can show your gratitude to Krishna and Balaram for giving us the good qualities of serving them. All right. We'll finish there. Thank you very much. Krishna Balaram ki jai. Radhe Shyam ki jai. Shishi Gornitai ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Imate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nirvasesha Sunyavadi Asyachadi Shatarani Majasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Hi Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindavan Shri Krishna Chaitanya